So today we're going to be dealing with the more philosophical aspects of this time of year. And one of the main messages of chametz and matzah is the midah of zrizut. Zrizut is defined as alacrity, if anybody knows what alacrity means. And really it's about speed, efficiency, being able to accomplish what we want to accomplish in life. One of the things that we say is that in Judaism, when we commemorate a holiday, it's not just about history, but it's also about a certain spiritual energy that is in the world, and we have a chance to connect and to empower ourselves in that area. So what I'm going to talk about today is zrizut, time, and the use of it in, as we're thinking about Pesach, as we're cleaning for Pesach, and as we're preparing for this moed, how can we grow personally in this area? Okay, so it's interesting. Look at the difference between chametz and matzah. Matzah and chametz have the same basic raw ingredients, flour and water, except matzah is baked in 18 minutes, and chametz is the same raw ingredients left to their own devices. It turns into a completely different entity. And this entity is referred to as chametz. What's interesting, Rav Huttner, the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, quotes from the Maharal, and he teaches us our very first message for today. Chametz is not just matzah plus an extra few minutes. It's matzah that turns into a completely different entity. Matzah is a mitzvah d'oraita. It's one of the only things where you get a mitzvah for every bite that you take. And chametz, this time of year, will be an isur karet to eat it. Same raw ingredients, and the only difference is time. So we learn that time is very powerful in what it does. And Rav Huttner says that one of the messages we learn is that shihui zman, procrastination, madbik pgam be'etzem hama'aseh. It puts a blemish on the action. What does this mean? What it means practically for us is that sometimes there are things that you could do them in a timely fashion, or you can procrastinate and do it when you get around to it. And sometimes we kid ourselves to think that if we do it eventually, I mean, what's the big difference? I delivered the same thing. It's just with some procrastination. And Rav Huttner teaches us that for certain types of actions, you're no longer delivering the same product once you've procrastinated. On the interpersonal level, I think we all know this. If you hear somebody's news, a mazel tov, or lahavdil, a condolence call, if you make that call in a timely fashion, you're communicating a certain message. You're saying, I cared, you're on my mind. You can procrastinate, and you could eventually make that call a month later and say exactly the same words. I feel for you, I've heard your news, I'm thinking of you, except that time has already changed the thing that you're delivering. And we've all been on both sides of this. Sometimes we procrastinate and then we get around to something only 2 months later when we meet that person in the supermarket. And sometimes you've been on the receiving end to somebody who called but a little too late and it just didn't give the same message anymore. Rav Huttner says that's one of the messages of matzah and chametz. That when you do something in a timely fashion, you're delivering matzah. When you do the same action after procrastinating, in some cases, you're delivering chametz. Why do I say in some cases? Because I feel that I have to mention that women have a different relationship to time than men do. And my problem, I teach women Musar topics, is that most of the texts that I teach from were not written for women. And they have to go through some kind of sifting of, is this an appropriate idea for women or not? And when I came to this idea of zrizut, I said, on one hand, we stand to gain from a message about procrastination. On the other hand, Women are patur for mitzvot aseh shazman grama. We have a different relationship to time. Hashem understands that not everything we want to get done can we get done exactly the way we want to get done, because our time is not always in our hands as much. I always think of this cute anecdote many, many years ago when my oldest two sons were little rambunctious boys. My husband was a rav on the NCSY summer kollel in Efrat, and we were living with the program, and I used to feed my children in the dining room with the program, with those teenage high school boys who come to learn Torah for the summer. And I always made sure to feed them on the side of the dining room. I didn't exactly want all the boys to see my children throwing meatballs at each other. And one day, one of the rabbis comes over to my table and he says, you know, do you mind if I bring one of the students over to watch you feed your children breakfast? I said, why would you want to do something like that? He says, this boy, we were learning yesterday, the sugya in the Gemara, that says that women are patra for mitzvot aseh shazman grama. This boy comes from a very, very feministic background, and he was very, very bothered that men and women should have different halachot about anything. So I thought that if he watches you feed your kids breakfast for a few minutes, it will solve all of his philosophical problems. I said, oh, please, by all means. Because my cornflakes get soggy because the amount of time that lapses after I actually put in the milk and get to eat it. So we have a different relationship to time. And therefore, the messages that we see from the text about time efficiency are going to be relevant to us, but we also have to take into consideration that it's not about beating yourself up about things that you don't get around to do because you have a lot of other very important things to do. And that's why I say that take this message where it applies, and realize that for some things, we're procrastinating. It's not that our time was taken up by something else, it was that we just procrastinate. And we deliver chametz instead of matzah. I think when it comes to interpersonal things, it's very clear to us. If a loved one asks you to do a favor, and you do it in a timely fashion, you're saying, I really care. And when you finally get around to it a few weeks later, it's not delivering the same thing. But the chiddush here is that this is true even in ben adam l'makom. Mitzvot that we do with enthusiasm and efficiency are matzah. And I think about something like davening. So women are patur from tefillah. But there's something called picking up your sitter the first possible opportunity in the morning. And there's something else called getting in your tefillah sometime before chatzot. And even though it doesn't have that same interpersonal flavor of delivering something late, it does, if we're aware of it, there is a subtle feeling of doing something in an invigorated, timely fashion and doing something after procrastinating. So we take this message wherever we have to take this, but the idea is that things delivered in a timely fashion are of a certain caliber. And the procrastination itself is madbik pgam, is the lashon of Rav Huttner. It kind of puts a blemish in what it is that we're doing. And that's the very first message. Okay. I think when we talk about zrizut, many of us think of speed. The people who zip through the supermarket, you know, I'm still at the first aisle looking at the tomato sauce to see if it has sugar in it. And somebody came into the store after me, finished, and is already at the takeout, and she's a zriza, and I'm not. The Maharal talks about something called Chomer and Tzura in Midot. Chomer is the God-given amount that we have with certain Midot, the haves and have-nots. And certain people are just very quick, they're very efficient, and other people aren't. So how do you work on Zrizot if it's not your natural gift to be good and to be quick? So here, Rav Chaim Freelander in the Sefer Sifsei Chaim, he says that speed is only one dimension of zrizut. Zrizut doesn't have to be speed. Zrizut is the ability to pay attention and to show, to reflect an emotional connection to what I'm doing. For some people, it's going to be being thorough. And for some people, it's going to be being well planned out. But speed is only one dimension. It's not the only dimension of zrizut. So there are those of us who are not fast, but we're thorough. And let's talk about speed for a second. Why is speed even a value? When you think about doing something speedily, there's certain things that it wouldn't be good to do them too fast. If I'm helping a handicapped person cross the street, that's not the kind of thing you want to do in 2 seconds, zip them across the street. And when you're praying, or when you're giving somebody attention, do you want to do it quickly and get it over with? So speed is complicated. In fact, the Kotzke Rebbe, who was known with his, for his very sharp quips, he says there are two people who are zrizim, who do things quickly. Not zrizim, two people do things quickly. He says one is the zariz, and one is the paziz. Zariz means a person who's efficient. Paziz means a person who's impetuous. And they're both very quick, but they're not reflecting the same motivation. He says the zariz is quick because he's identifying with the task that he's doing. And part of his identifying with what he's doing is being efficient. The paziz is identifying with resting on the couch after the job gets done. And that's why he does it so quickly. So speed is not always a sign of identifying with what you're doing. And yet, we do see that matzah would have to be baked within 18 minutes. So clearly speed has some value, because nobody's saying, you know, you could bake it in 18 minutes or you could sit and spend hours and really just do it with a labor of love for 3 hours. It's 18 minutes. And here another idea of Rav Huttner, a more philosophical idea. What's the value of speed? Time is a physical entity. God, who is metaphysical, is above time. He's not bound by time. I'm bound by time, but he isn't. And therefore, in my desire to be a more spiritual person, I want to fight against the limitations of time. I cannot be above time, but I cannot allow time to bog me down so much. And when a person with the right intentions does something with speed, he's attaching himself to the metaphysical. I think we all know the opposite of this. If you're having a day when you're having a, you're kind of in like this low mood and you're walking around your house in your fuzzy slippers in circles and not getting anything done, kind of feels like heavy. You feel very physical. And there's something about having a day when you got up early and got a lot done and crossed a lot of things off your list. You feel lighter. And this is the idea of connecting to the metaphysical. We cannot be above time, but we can allow time not to rule over us. And that is the physical dimension of zrizut that's called speed. But as we said, it's not the only factor that leads to zrizut. And therefore, the Siftei Chaim says that the tzura of zrizut, tzura is the amount that I work on something. Chomer is what Hashem gave me, and some people are quick and some people aren't. And tzura is the way I work on myself to accomplish something with the raw materials that he gave me. And Siftei Chaim said that zrizut is amida al hamishmar. It's being very, very observant, very, very, having the ability to be very committed to something and to pay attention to the obstacles, the physical obstacles and the emotional obstacles that might get in the way of my accomplishing the task. So it's really much wider than just speed. Okay. I wanted to mention the Orchot Tzaddikim here, because for those of us who have a hard time with zrizut and we have a hard time getting things done, it's very interesting. I heard in the name of Rebbetzin Tzipora Heller, the Orchot Tzaddikim is an anonymous author. We don't know who the author is. Rebbetzin Heller, I heard, is of the belief that the Orchot Tzaddikim was written by a woman. So now whenever I say the Orchot Tzaddikim says, I don't say he says, I say the Orchot Tzaddikim says. And listen to these definitions that widens zrizut. And I have this like female dimension in my mind as I speak about this. We think about people who zip quickly through the supermarket, and that's only one dimension of zrizut, as we've said. But people have areas where there's rizim and areas where they are not. The opposite of zrizut, there's a word called shiflut, shin pei lamed vav taf. Shafel means low, areas where we're low energy. Rav Olba in the Sefer Alei Shor says that everybody has areas of zrizut and areas of shiflut. It's not that there are fast people and there are slow people. It's that we all have areas where we're more energized and areas where we're less energized. Rav Olba even says, for someone who learns Torah, some people have zrizut in their Gemara learning, shiflut in their Tanakh learning, zrizut in their davening, shiflut in their chesed. Everybody has different areas where they enjoy and they're very motivated and they run off to that task, and other areas where they're like, can't be bothered. So we have to realize this about ourselves as well. We can target areas of zrizut, of areas where we just are more naturally motivated, and areas of shiflut, areas where I would like to use this time of year to motivate myself. Based on that definition, the Orchot Tzadikim gives you some things to think about of other areas of zrizut, and this is, I really gained a lot from this. The Orchot Tzadikim says that there's something called zrizut in making shalom, in making peace with people when you have an argument. The Pasuk in Tehillim says, Bakesh shalom v'rodfehu. You should seek out peace and run after it. And the Orchot Tzadikim says that some people are zrizim in shalom. They get into an argument and they don't want to sit in that place of discord for too long. They call, they make amends, they work out the problem. And there are other people who kind of do this in a chametz-like fashion. They let time pass and they say, let this person call me. Eventually we'll work this out. And it's a beautiful area of zrizut, bakesh shalom v'rodfehu, to be a zariz in making peace. If there's an uncomfortable situation, to deal with it in a timely fashion and not to procrastinate in making peace. So this might resonate with some of the people who don't run quickly through the supermarket, but they like to make peace quickly. And then the next point that the Orchot Tzadikim makes, I think, is even more fascinating. Zrizut lifrosh mimachshvotav hagruot kigon kina v'sina v'chulei. Zrizut, to distract yourself from negative thought patterns like hatred, jealousy, sadness, anxiety. This is fascinating. Sometimes we're triggered and we have a bad emotion that's going, and it's festering. Sometimes we allow that emotion to sit for a long time. And sometimes we choose to regulate ourselves in a timely fashion. And this is called cognitive and emotional zrizut. The ability to regulate yourself early in a cycle. When I read this idea in the Orchot Tzadikim, I was reminded in Daniel Goleman's very famous book called Emotional Intelligence. He says that there's certain bad negative emotions that peak after 20 minutes, and then it's much harder to regulate yourself. He says anger is one of them. Sometimes we're in a bad mood, and then we allow ourselves to mope and to wallow in our sorrow for a long time. And according to the Orchot Tzadikim, this is an area of zrizut. We can validate ourselves, why we're in a bad mood. And then we could use some skill for self-regulation. Turn on the music, go for a walk, make a phone call, eat some chocolate, and do something to put ourselves into a better mood. I think this is fascinating because for women, this is a very important area of zrizut. Eventually, we kind of get back to ourselves. But the question is, how long does it take? And am I using everything in my ability to regulate myself and to not ruin the rest of my day because I was triggered by something? So according to the Orchot Tzadikim, this is an area of zrizut. Zrizut lifrosh mimachshvotav hagruot. Okay. I would like to share with you some very interesting sources in the Pirkei Avot about time efficiency and about zrizut. The first is coming from Pirkei Avot, Perek Hei, Mishnah Chaf Gimel. And the Mishnah tells us that if we want to do Hashem's will in the world, we have to emulate the traits of four animals. What Revolba in the Sefer Alei Shor does with this Mishnah is he says that every task has four stages to it. And a person needs zrizut in all four stages in order to get a task done. So let's look at this. It's fascinating. Hevei az kanamer, you should be brazen like a tiger. Kal kanesher, light like an eagle. Ratz katzvi, run like a deer. Ugibor ke'ari, it's on your source sheet. Gibor ke'ari, and courage of a lion. Lasot ritzon avicha shebashamayim. Fascinating. When you have something that you want to get done, a plan, it has four stages. Stage number one is the stage of initiation. To initiate a plan. This stage, according to the Mishnah, requires azut. Azut means chutzpah. And supposedly, tigers have chutzpah. So you need chutzpah like a tiger. Why chutzpah? Because in order to initiate a change in your life, you need to be able to think out of the box and say, why does it have to be this way? Why can't it be different? The people who we know respect, who've started organizations to solve problems in our community, were people who had a little bit of chutzpah. They said, why is there no organization to help these people, or to solve this problem, or to fight this terrible trend? And they had the chutzpah to say, it doesn't have to be this way. And that is the very first stage of zrizut. The ability to initiate a plan and to say, just because it's been this way, it doesn't have to continue to be this way. This can be anything. It could be improving a relationship, which is in a bad place. And I could say to myself, why? Why does it have to be this way? It could be some plan to get to candle lighting without being a wreck every Friday. Just because it's always been this way, why does it have to be this way? Why can't it be different? And it could be tackling that closet that you have to clean for Pesach. We need to be able to initiate the plan, to have the chutzpah to want things to be different. And here, really the zrizut is going to be in creativity and the ability to think and to think of something and to want something to be different and to come up with a plan of how I'm going to make this change. Then comes stage number two. And the Mishnah says, Kal Kanesher, light like an eagle. Eagles are actually very heavy birds. So why does the Mishnah tell you to be light like an eagle? Because you have to be able to rise above the heaviness. Eagles are heavy, but they also have wings, and the wings allow them to soar. For the purpose of this Mishnah and this idea on zrizut, we will say that sometimes you initiate a plan, but then when you think about all the details that are going to be necessary in order to bring that plan to fruition, you get bogged down by the details. And this is where some people run out of steam. They were creative, they have great ideas, but when it comes to what it's going to take to do this, they're like, forget it, no zrizut for this. So the ability to not be bogged down by the details, to be kal kanesher, to be lighter than the details, is the next stage of zrizut. It's moving from the theoretical to the practical, and not being bogged down when I see that this plan is not going to be as easy as I thought. And then we have stage number three. Ratz katzvi, that's actually running with the plan. You can no longer sit in your nice comfortable couch as you did when you initiated, or even when you wrote down all the things that had to get done. But this is actually doing them, rolling up your sleeves and sweating and getting it done. And this is a part where many people run out of resources, because actually getting it done is sometimes a place which is difficult. We need to point out that ritsa, larutz, to run, is the same shorish as ratzon. And ratzon means will. And sometimes in order to do something which is difficult, we need to have a lot of emotional motivation. Beautiful proof for this, something that maybe we never thought about. The Mechilta says that Bnei Yisrael completed the Avodat HaMishkan. When they made the Mishkan, they did it very efficiently, very, very fine motor, artistic type work of tapestry and all kinds of artistic work for the Mishkan. The Mechilta points out these people were Yotzei Mitzrayim. They were servants. Their hands were like blunt, crude. They never went to any art classes. They didn't have occupational therapy for fine motor skills. And yet they did a beautiful job in the Mishkan. How? Because nasam libam la'avodat kodesh. Their hearts lifted them to be able to do the work of the Mishkan. When you have emotional motivation, it often gives you the ability to run and do something that otherwise would be difficult. Some of us are not so great in the kitchen, but we want to make a cake for a loved one for a special occasion. We suddenly find ourselves able to do something that we're surprised at the results, because there's an emotional motivation there. And that's rats and ratzon. So we need a lot of emotional motivation to run with a plan. And then we get to the fourth. And the fourth is really, I think, maybe the most fascinating. Gibor ke'ari. You need the courage of a lion. What do you need courage for? To finish up the task. The fourth and final stage is not leaving the task unfinished. And here, the lashon of the Mishnah is gvura, to be a gibor. It's very interesting psychologically, but a lot of people will put a lot of effort into the first three stages of a plan. They'll even run with the plan, but then at the very end, they'll give up. In fact, my father-in-law once told me that in the academic world, there's a concept called ABD, all but dissertation. People who've gone to school for many, 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 many years towards their doctoral degree, and they have to do that last dissertation. And hundreds of people every year who don't get their doctorate because they don't hand in that last little piece of work. It's so illogical. Why would anybody drop something at the finishing line? What's that? Hard. So I ask my students often, why do you need gvura for this? What's the courage? And here I want to give you a little bit of insight into something. Revolba says that midot often have partners. Zrizut and Simcha come together, which is nice because Purim and Pesach, Simcha and Zrizut, but they have a mutual relationship. When you do things efficiently, you're in a good mood. Daniel Goldman would say that it releases endorphins to get a job done, to clean out a closet when you're in a bad mood will actually put you in a good mood. He actually puts that on his list of self-regulation. He mentions chocolate as the least recommended. But he talks about the half-hour jog and meditation, music. And then he says, accomplishing a small task. You kind of do that little closet and then you feel like you're in a good mood. Or you make that phone call that you haven't made and you feel good about it. It literally releases endorphins. So there's a relationship between Simcha and Zrizut, and they perpetuate. You're in a good mood, you get more done, you get more done, you're in a better mood, then you're more energized. But what's the partner of shiflut, of the low energy? And here, Revolba says something fascinating, different than what we would think. He says that fear, pachad, is the partner of shiflut. When people are afraid, they don't get out of bed. And then when they don't get out of bed, they're afraid. And then their self-esteem goes down, and they're more afraid, and they accomplish less. And there's a cycle between being de-energized and being fearful. Therefore, when we say that you need to be a gibor ka'ari to finish the job, people who drop out before the finishing line are scared of something. And I once asked a group, I had a group of women, we spent 8 weeks on every midah. So we spent 8 weeks on the midah of Zrizot. And on 1 week I said to them, what are we afraid of when we don't deliver? And it could be anything. It could be that you decided you're going to make a beautiful cake for some friend's occasion, and it kind of, you just don't put the finishing touches on it, so you never deliver the cake, or the ABD, or the people who invest a lot into a relationship and then break off the relationship right before engagement. There's a lot of this at the finishing line dropping out. So my students came up with very insightful comments. One of them was a fear of failure. When you're still working on the product, on the project, and you haven't delivered, you don't actually have to prove if you're going to be good at it or not. And some people are so scared of failing that they'd rather not finish up the job because they're so scared of the failure. One of my other students piped up and she said, I think it's actually fear of success. If I'm good at this, people will expect more of me and they'll see that I'm capable of more. Somebody said fear of boredom. When you're the student or you're part of a project and you're very, very invested in a project, it's like, what am I going to have to live for after this project is over? And for some people, that's what makes them postpone delivering. And for some people, it's commitment. It's nice to be in the world of the theoretical, to have all your options open. But once you finish something, you're kind of like, you're delivering a specific thing. Yes. 100% perfectionism. Perfectionists are very afraid of failure. In fact, if they're not convinced that they're going to deliver 100%, they'd rather deliver zero than an 80. I always say about this, it's such an important topic, perfectionism, that perfectionists often live with a fear of not being loved if they deliver anything less than perfect. And in psychology, we talk about exposure to your fear, meaning delivering something not perfect and realizing that people will love you anyway. And some people never expose themselves to their own imperfections because they're so afraid of not being accepted. But what they need to see is that life goes on despite imperfections. And sometimes they need to bake a cake, overbake it, and serve it anyway and see that nothing happens. Life goes on. But people will go to tremendous, tremendous levels of avoiding imperfection. They'll push themselves to crazy levels because they're very afraid. Sarah Hannah Radcliffe, who writes for Mishpacha magazine, writes that very often the problem, the basis of perfectionism was the conditional love that people receive. And if people grow up in a way that they only receive love when they delivered something, so they grow up associating love with delivering something perfect. And that's why she says that just, you know, it's an interesting point. It's not our topic today. She says that in educating children, we need to give a lot of positive feedback. In fact, there's the famous 80-20 ratio that's often spoken about, 80% positive versus 20% negative. But she says that within the 80% positive, there has to be 50% conditional positive and 50% unconditional positive. Conditional positive was, thank you so much for taking out the garbage, or you did so well on that test, or I'm so proud of the way you handled that. 50% conditional positive gives direction to people about what's good to do in life. But then she says, and this is your point, the 50% unconditional positive is just plopping a kiss on a kid's head and saying, you're a great kid, for no particular reason. Because that's what builds the self-esteem, that I'm worthy even when I don't deliver. And we have people sometimes who are 70 years old who are still like little children. They believe they'll only get the kiss on their head if they deliver something beautiful and perfect. And that's why they push themselves at 3:00 in the morning to clean their house or to do their nails perfectly or to deliver something perfectly because otherwise they won't be loved and appreciated. So there's a lot to say on this topic, but it's very, very important because sometimes that's why we don't have the courage to deliver. Okay.
The courage to be free.
Yes, yes. Right, right. To fight whatever it is.
Yeah.
The courage to fight. She said that it's the courage to fight the Yetzirah. I want to say something about what you just said, something very important. You know, people have in them a desire for war. In the Middle Ages, people used to go out and kill each other literally for any cause, religion, territory, whatever it was. Thank God we're living in a world where in most places of the world, that's not what's happening. Except now we have sports. And people literally, either they're literally trampling each other, or else just even the terminology, we're going to cream them, we're going to kill them, we're going to demolish them. And then we have children who fight in the courts. And then we have people who fight over ideologies, kill the other guy's ideology, politics. I once heard that all of this is a derailing of a koch milchama. Hashem puts the ability to fight, the desire to fight inside us. Why? In order for us to fight our Yetzirah. And that's why you have a koch milchama in you. We use it for all the wrong things. We need to have some bad guy to fight against, some enemy, somebody to hate. But really, it's about fighting the negative aspects of my own nature. And that's why I have a koch milchama in me. I just unfortunately use it for all kinds of wrong things. But that's what it's really for. So thank you for that comment. Okay, I would like to share with you a different Mishnah. First of all, just to wrap up the Mishnah that we just said, it's important to think about the four stages and to think, where do I tend to run out of steam? Is it that initiating a plan, I just don't come up with anything that could be done differently? I don't have that motivation to change something which is not going well in my life? Is it that I'm very creative, but then I get bogged down by the details? Is it that I just don't run with the plan and get it done, or that I don't finish? And this time of year, especially when we have to tackle a lot of tasks, it's good to think about this result in the four stages. But I'd like to share with you another source as we wind down for today, a source that to me is the most inspiring source for Zrizut. And it's also coming from the Mishnah and Perkei Avot. I don't see that it is here. One second. Yes, no, this is not actually the one that I meant, so I'm going to quote to you what it is. The source, I thought was in Perkei Avot, Perek Bet, the end, but I guess I sent to the wrong source. I think it was Kaf Hei. The source is beautiful. The Mishnah says, Hazman katsar, time is short, the hamalacha merubah, and there's a lot of work to be done. Hapoalim atzelim, the workers are lazy. Hasachar harbe, but the pay is good. Ubal habayit dochek, and the owner is insistent, he's pushing. So we all know that this is a mashal for life. The time is short, there's a lot to be done, the workers are lazy, the payoff is good, and Hashem, the Baal HaBayit, is pushing. He wants to see you succeed. Rav Yerucham, the famous mashgiach of the Mir Yeshiva, has a beautiful, beautiful mashal on this mashal. And it's one of, in my mind, one of my most inspiring, the ideas that inspires me the most. He says that the mashal is a mashal of a shipping company. And the owner of the shipping company hires some workers, and he says to the workers, can you please load all of these boxes onto the ship? Because the ship has to go overseas. So the workers, the hired workers, load the boxes onto the ship. And after loading and loading, they finally see that the ship is full, but there's still a few boxes that didn't get onto the ship. So they go to the owner and they say, we're so sorry, we loaded the boat, but these boxes didn't get on the ship. The owner says, well, That's not acceptable. Every box here is important, and they all have to go overseas. So the owner takes all the boxes off the ship, undoes the work, and then this is a play on the words, Bal Habayit Dochek. The owner is pushing. And he loads the ship again. But he takes every box and he pushes it to the end of the ship to maximize the space. And the next box uses the maximum amount of space, no space between the boxes. Lo and behold, all the boxes get on the ship this time around. Rav Yerucham is giving us a message. He's saying, we all have things that we don't get done in life. This is not about a few dishes in your sink at the end of the day. But sometimes there's an important box, which you yourself say is a priority in your life, except it's just not getting on your ship. It doesn't get done. He says, when there's something important in your life that doesn't get done, you have to ask yourself, am I the paid worker or am I the owner of my ship? And this is such a strong message. He says, because the paid workers, at the end of the day, can always turn to the owner and say, sorry, didn't get around to it. But if this is my ship, and it's my life, and this is an important box, who am I answering to? Who am I making excuses to? And then Balabayit Tochek, the owner of the ship, tries to look at his time and say, where is my time going? And maybe I need to reprioritize. Maybe I have to reorganize my time to put this important box on the ship. And Rav Yerucham's mashal, he doesn't take a box off the ship, he just uses the time well. But in our world, there's a lot of time wasters today, especially technology offers tremendous amount of time wasters. And sometimes they say, you know, that loved one hasn't gotten attention from me in a long time. Or I don't have time to do a favor for a friend. Or I haven't prayed properly. Or certain things that we just care about. And they're not getting on the ship. And then we have to ask ourselves, if I'm the owner, maybe I have to rearrange some of the boxes and figure out how to make time for the thing that's important to me. And that's Rav Yerucham's message to us. And as I wind down, this is a time of year where there's a special skula for zrizut. There's a special skula for time. And Hashem took us out of Mitzrayim b'chipazon speedily. And it's for us to think, what important priorities do I have in my life? What do I want to get done? If it's not getting done with speed, at least it can be done with intention. Where do I need zrizut and shalom? Where do I need zrizut in self-regulation? And zrizut in prioritizing what's important to me. So I wish everybody a chag kasher v'sameach, and we should all have a lot of hatzlacha with this. Thank you. Yes.